Next week we're going to learn Simen Nun Gimel. In the Simen Nun Gimel is titled Din Aroy Leir Lefnei Ateva, the halachas of who is ra'ui to be a shliach zibor, who's an appropriate choice for a shliach zibor. It's interesting that we don't really get to that until Si'if Dalit. The first three Si'ifim have really nothing to do with who's ra'ui to be a shliach zibor, but we got to learn them too. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Si'if Aleph that Omer Shliach Sibur Yishtabach Mu'uma, that a person is supposed to stand, the Shliach Sibur is supposed to stand when he says Yishtabach. What's the reason we stand when we say Yishtabach? I bet if you were to ask 10 Jews in Shul why you stand when you say Yishtabach, very few would know this, that the reason you stand, Mishabur says, we only say Yishtabach is because the Shliach Sibur shouldn't have to waste time after Yishtabach, before Baruch Hu, to stand up and go to the Amud. He should already be there, he should already be standing so that he can be right in front of the Amud, not to cause an undue hefsik. Mishabur points out that earlier in Siman and Aleph, we mentioned that even a Yachid is supposed to stand for Yishtabach, that it's not just a Shaliach Tzibur that stands for Yishtabach. Everybody's supposed to stand for Yishtabach. So what's the difference? Why over here do we say Dafka Shaliach Tzibur? So Mishabur explains that previously we're talking that was the Minag, that the Minag is that everybody stands for Yishtabach. But the halacha is that a Shaliach Tzibur has to stand for Yishtabach. That's a din, that's an actual din. The reason that the Minag is that we all stand for Yishtabach, in the Dirshu points out that to betama davar, because it's considered davar shebekdusha, which is dina ba'amida, or it's considered like a birchsa mitzvah, one or the other. It doesn't seem to have the characteristics of a davar shebekdusha. Davar shebekdusha normally involves a responsive recitation, so it doesn't seem that it really has the characteristics of a davar shebekdusha like kaddish or kedusha, or even like Rav Shechter points out, keladon and lechadodi, when said responsively, take on the status of davar shebekdusha, and that's what the meaning was, to stand for lechadodi, as part of that inyan of davar shebekdusha, but at least because maybe it's considered like a birchas hamitzvah on the tishbachos that we're saying as the pesukei dezimra. The Mishabur also writes that noagim anshe maisa to stand when we say yishtabach both on Shabbos and on weekday. And the Achronim point out that applies to Nishmas as well. Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Rosal Vechik said stood for Nishmas as well. So it doesn't seem to be that that's a widespread practice, but that was the Shita of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, quoted by Rav Nevensal in his Mishnah Berurah, and that was the practice of Rav Salvechik. I believe if you look in the Machzor, the Rav's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Machzor, it mentions that he used to stand through Nishmas as well. But the key is that the Mishabura says all the Tesvav Shvachim in Yishtabach from Shiru Shvacha until Me'ata, we're not supposed to be mafsik between them, and if the mafsik ansho gadol, someone who's mafsik in the middle, it's considered to be that it'll have a great onesh. But to answer Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba, you're allowed to do even in the middle of those 15 Shvachas that we say. In Sif Beis, Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't say Yishtabach unless you said Baruch Sha'amar, because they're the Pesukei Dezimra are supposed to be sandwiched between Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach, and therefore the Mishabur points out if someone has to daven for the Amud because he's in the Avel or he's a yard site and he comes late to Shul and they're holding already almost by Yishtabach, he should be careful to make sure to say Baruch Sha'amar before he says Yishtabach, because you're not allowed to, one should, because these are two brachos that go together with each other, so you should make sure that you do that, and you're not allowed to be mafsik between Yishtabach and Kaddish. But so try to say Baruch Sha'amar, ideally Ashrei and Yishtabach before taking the Amud. In the Bir Halacha, in Dibur Maskel Amar Baruch Sha'amar, he points out that, and what if you didn't say Baruch Sha'amar, and you already said all of Pesukei Dezimra, but you skipped Baruch Sha'amar, so now what? You can't say Yishtabach because you skipped Baruch Sha'amar? He says, no, that's ridiculous, meaning just because you skipped Baruch Sha'amar, it's like saying someone shouldn't make a Bracha Achrona because he didn't make a Bracha Rishona. No, obviously, normally Bracha Rishona comes before you eat Bracha Achrona after you eat, and they go together, but you don't say not to make the Bracha Achrona just because you didn't say the Bracha Rishona. In Siv Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch says that one should not make a bracha on the talis between Pesukei Dezimra and Yishtabach, and if he's only going to get a talis at that point in davening, he should do it between Yishtabach and Yotzer, meaning after Yishtabach is when you should put on the talis to say the bracha. This is most nogeat to people who daven very early, and the Zman, talis, and tefillin has not yet arrived at the time that they start their tefillah. So we recommend that they don't make a bracha on the talis and tefillin until the Zman arrives. So very often that happens right at the end of Pesukei Dezimra. So the Shulchan Aruch says, don't make that bracha before Yishtabach, rather do it after Yishtabach. Rama adds, a Shliach Tzibur who didn't have a talis should be Yimsatif Betzitzis before he starts saying Yishtabach, because remember, there shouldn't be a hefsik between Yishtabach and Yotzerari. He's supposed to go straight into it. So he should put on the talis beforehand, and when we say put on the talis, if he's the Shliach Tzibur, Mishnah Berurah says V'yavarech, it means to put on the talis and actually say the bracha, because while it's true that we don't want to be mafsik between Pesukei Dezimra and Yishtabach, because Yishtabach is a bracha that goes back on Pesukei Dezimra, so we're very hesitant to be mafsik at that point, but we're even more hesitant to make a tircha de tzibura, to make the whole tzibur wait for you for the 4 seconds it's going to take to say the bracha on the talis. It's always that sensitivity to tircha de tzibura for even the smallest amounts of time that you see that comes up in the halacha, just tells you how sensitive we should be to tircha de tzibura. How long does it take to say a bracha on the talis already, to put on the talis at that point? But still we're concerned about the tircha de tzibura. The Mishnah Berurah points out in Sifkat and Zayin that im lo yiviyu lo atalis ad la'achar shegomer yishtabach kodem shomer HaKadosh yachol niach shom levarich v'akal yamtinu. If you didn't have the talis beforehand and it only came to you at that point, so then you don't have a choice. Then you can put on the talis and say the bracha, and the tzibur will have to wait the 5 seconds that it takes for you to put on the talis. What if this happens sometimes, a shul starts davening, they don't yet have a minyan, and they're waiting and they're waiting and they're waiting, and they finish Pesukei Dezimra and still no minyan, so they're still waiting for the 10th man to come. So how much of a hefsek in just sitting there waiting is created, is permissible before you say that you blew it, that it's a major problem, that you have to just continue with the davening? So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sif Katan Yud, V'yuchalamten chatzi sho'a im yishtabach. If you're just sitting there and you're not being mafsik with dibur, just waiting up until a half hour. It's machlokas in the achronim, whether that's dafka or lav dafka. Do we mean to say, yeah, even a half hour or more, or 40 minutes or whatever, or does it mean to say, no, dafka, a half hour, but any more than a half hour, you just have to continue with shachris, even if the minyan has not yet arrived. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Sif Dalid, Shliach Tzibur. Now we finally get into the halachos of Shliach Tzibur itself. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that Shliach Tzibur, Tzaruch Shiyah Hagun. Person needs to be an appropriate Shliach Tzibur. Now the Shulchan Aruch works with the assumption that a shul had a set Shliach Tzibur, someone that they paid that was always the Shliach Tzibur. It was his job to always lead the tefillah. So Shliach Tzibur should be the person who you appoint should be a person who's appropriate for the job. What's a person who's appropriate for the job? So this is drawn from a variety of Gemaras, mostly in Tainus, and we're going to see some of these halachos are going to be drawn from Megillah and some from Brachos, but this was from the Gemara in Tainus. Ezu Agin Shei Reikon Me Averos, he shouldn't have any Averos, Vishalo Yotzal of Shem Ra Filu Bialduso, and he shouldn't have a bad reputation even from his youth. And he should be a humble person and someone that the people are interested in having serve as their shliach tzibur. V'yesh lo ni'ima v'kal arev, and he should have a nice voice. The ragalikros tarnavim k'suvim, and he should be familiar with Tanakh. Why should he be familiar with Tanakh? Why does it matter if he's familiar with Tanakh? Mishnah Berurah has 2 reasons. First of all, because there's so many psukim of Tanakh in the tefillah that we want him to be able to read the tefillah properly. So the more he's familiar with Tanakh, the better he's going to say the tefillah. And second of all, if he's not used to reading Tanakh, he's not used to learning even Tanakh. If a person turns away from Torah, is not interested in Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not so interested in his tefillah. That the avodah of Torah and the avodah of tefillah are supposed to go hand in hand. Excuse me, Mishnah Berurah adds in Sifkat Nilches that in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur we add a few more qualifications. The best that the person be married and that the person be 30 years old. Ideally, the reason why we want him to be married is that he should be like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim. And the first Mishnah Maseches Yuma says that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim has to have a wife. There's even one sheet in Tanaim that we prepare a backup wife for the Kohen Gadol. Tanna Kama says in the Mishnah on for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, just in case his wife dies, that you want there to, he needs to be married. So for the Shliach Tzibur, in some ways, represents the Kohen Gadol on Yom Noraim, so he should be married as well. These qualifications are listed in the order of importance. So pretty much. So the idea of kol ni'ima, kolo arev, is much less important than being merutz la'am and being an anav, being the right kind of person. So that's an important thing to realize. All this is if the Mishnah Brura points out over here in Sifkat Yom Gimel that his clothing should be appropriate clothing as well. He should have long clothing that his legs aren't exposed, and he should be the first guy to shul and the last guy out. And ideally, if you can find one, you should find a shliach tzibur who's a tzaddik ben tzaddik, even though he doesn't have to be a miyuchas. But ideally, you want a tzaddik ben tzaddik. Then the Mishnah Berurah says that a mum that would passel by a kohen would not passel by a shliach tzibur, and adrabba by a bal mum, by a shliach tzibur, a bal mum may be the most desirable thing, because lev nishpar v'nitke l'kim lo sivze, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in someone who comes broken. It's a brachni yid, comes in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, comes with a certain sense of desperation and anivus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu values. But yesh machmir b'zal l'chadchil. The Mishnah Berurah says some say that we should be machmir. Now what does this mean? Someone who didn't have a shame ra, afilu bi yalduso. Does that mean that any bal tshuva is possible because he used to be someone who was an avarian? He used to be known as an avarian. So Mishnah Berurah sounds that way. He says that you're not allowed to be memana someone lechadchila if he was known as an avarian. But Mishnah Berurah says if he's already appointed to laviru l'salka achra shehuchzak shatz, ein lanu. If right now he doesn't have a bad reputation anymore, you can't fire him just because he used to have a bad reputation. But if right now, if his bad reputation is owed to what he's doing right now, then you got to get rid of him, even if he's already hired as a shliach tzibur. So later posts can already point out that this would fit into the Chazon Ish's broad definition of what we call the tinok shenishba. That nowadays, if you have someone who's a bal tshuva and he wasn't raised b'darkei Torah and he didn't know any better and he becomes a bal tshuva, an adrabba, that's a wonderful thing. We should look for such a person to be our shliach tzibur. Of Sturmach writes in Shuvas Van Hagel's Chelik Aleph Simin Sadi Tes, quoted in the Piskei Shuvas, and other poskim as well. He quotes in Shuvas Vayvarach David. It makes sense that someone who's I think Vayvarach David is of Harfenis, if I'm not mistaken, that the Samar Dayan. So and it makes sense that someone who is a bal tshuva is a very desirable kind of shliach tzibur. However, it doesn't meet the criteria of tzaddik ben tzaddik, meaning we do still look for a tzaddik ben tzaddik ideally. So once you're not getting that criteria anyway, then a bal tshuva is a wonderful choice for a shliach tzibur. In Sif Hei, Shulchan Aruch says, im ein motzin mi sheyeh bo kol amidos eilu. Let's say, if you could imagine such a thing, you can't find someone who has all of these qualifications. So what do? Pick the best guy, b'chachmo b'maisim tovim. Try to find someone who's a talmid chacham and who does maisim tovim. What if you have an option, says the Rama, of an am haaretz zakein with a nice voice that everyone loves the way he davens, and a 13-year-old boy who understands what he's davening but doesn't have a nice voice? So you would think a no-brainer. Take the old man who everyone loves, who has a beautiful voice. No, says the Rama, 13-year-old who understands what he's saying takes precedence. He takes precedence. He's the preferred choice over the Am Haaretz, who is a Zakein. Rama adds, someone who did an Aver B'Shogeg, like murder B'Shogeg, and he's since done tshuva, is allowed to be a Shliach Zibur. Now, why Dafka does he say murder? So the Mishnah Berurah says, Lav Dafka Haruk, who had in Shar Averus, really any Avera also. So why does he mention murder? That's a pretty significant Avera to mention as just stomach. You know, a guy who did Averus B'Shogeg, like someone who murdered. I mean, that's a little bit of an extreme example. So it's probably that he mentions that example because that's the specific issue that comes up when it comes to Birchus Kohanim, that a Kohen the Shaharag is not allowed to be Nosei Kapayim because the in Kategor Nasa Sanegor, the same hands that are supposed to bring Bracha and Chaim cannot be the hands that have shortened someone's life, that have taken away someone's life. But in this context, it's not really about murder, it's about any Avera. If he did Tshuva, he can still be Shliach Tzibur. But if he did it B'mezid, even if he did Tshuva, then he should not be a Shliach Tzibur. Mishnah Berurah quotes Magen Avram, that quotes in the name of many poskim, that even B'mezid, if he did Tshuva, he's allowed to be a Shliach Tzibur Kavua, because it's only by Tainus Tzibur that we're machmir. But if you're not going to have him serve at a Tainus Tzibur as a Shliach Tzibur, just as a regular day, and even if you did Averus B'mezid and he did Tshuva, it would be permissible to have him. However, by Yom Noroim, we should be machmir, at least like a din of Tainios. You shouldn't have a person who murdered someone B'mezid and has since done tshuva, or has done averos b'mezid, notable averos b'mezid, and has since done tshuva, serve as a shliach tzibur for Yom Noraim. But again, there's a big difference, Mishavura points out, between appointing someone as a shliach tzibur and keeping someone as a shliach tzibur. If a person already is muchsak in the position, it is a much bigger deal, both in halacha and in practicality. People become very offended if you tell them, oh yeah, by the way, we're taking away your right to daven for the amud that someone has had. He's been davening for years in the shul. He can't easily take it away. That has to be a very serious offense to take it away. Then in Sif Vav, the Shulchan Aruch says that Ein Meman Mel Mishna Smali Zekano Mipnei Kvod HaTzibur, a little bit of a surprising halacha, that really someone should only be appointed as a Shliach Tzibur if he's old enough to have a beard. Aval Bakroi, if it's just going to be once in a while, then as long as he has shtei saros, as long as he's a bar mitzvah boy, that's good enough. But as a kavua position, then you should only have someone who's already nismalei zekano. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot Chav Gimel, he says that the tzibur cannot be mochel on their kavod for this. That if, let's say, they want to appoint a teenager who has a beautiful voice as their shaliach tzibur, the tzibur cannot be mochel on their kavod. They have to hire somebody who's nismalei zekano. And the reason is because we assume, whenever we assume someone cannot be mochel on their kavod, we always assume it's because it's not really their kavod. Right? The reason a Talmud Chacham can be mochel on his kavod is because the Torah is dilehu. It's his Torah, it's his kavod to be mochel. The reason a melech cannot be mochel on his kavod is because the position of malchus and the kavod of the malchus is something that's critical for Klal Yisrael. It's not his to be mochel. So whenever it's not just your kavod, you can't be mochel. The tzibur over here, it's not just their kavod, it's the kavod of Klal Yisrael. It's the kavod of the entire of a Kadosh Baruch Hu as represented by Klal Yisrael. So that's why they can't be mochel. However, if Shlomo Zalman and other posts can point out that, let's say you have a minion in middle school. You know, you have 6th, 7th, and 8th grade minions. So all the kids, it's a minion, they're all kids. Yeah, so there are some rebbeim there. So you're going to say a rebbe has to daven every single day? No, then you could have an 8th grader daven for the amud. That's perfectly fine. Someone sent me an email. You shouldn't say for an amud. That's not correct. You daven in front of the amud, right? Far an amud means in front of. It's a Yiddish term, but people translate to English for an amud. So far an amud. You shouldn't have. You can have an 8th grader daven far an amud if that's the case. If the minyan is made up of people, because that's the whole tzibur. So there's not an issue. The whole issue over here is covered at tzibur. So it's not going to be an issue when that's the entire tzibur. When it's not a kavua thing though, then even a child is going to be allowed to lead the tzibur if it's not kavua. The minhag is to be mekel in this, that certainly by akrai, to take someone who's not nismali zikno, and certainly by mariv, because by mariv we're going to see it's less of a we're less makbid for mariv than we are for the other tefillos, because by mariv there's no chazar sashat. So what is it already? Just saying dvarim shebekdusha, you're not being motzi anybody in anything. It's just leading dvarim shebekdusha. So that we're always going to be more makel on. There are poskim that suggest, Rabbi Kivager suggests, that when it comes to musaf, you shouldn't. A woman is not chayiv in tefillos musaf because she doesn't participate in the shkalim. So the poskim suggests, based on that Rabbi Kivager, that you shouldn't have a child who's not 20 years old lead musaf, based on that idea, because he doesn't participate in the shkalim that go to pay for the musaf. Again, I think the minhag is not to be makbid about that issue. In Sif Zayin, Shulchan Aruch says, if you don't have anyone who knows how to be a shliach tzibur except for a 13-year-old, better that he be a shliach tzibur rather than just not do Kaddish and Kedusha. That should be self-understood, right? If you have a minyan and only one guy knows how to daven, he happens to be 13 years old, yeah, definitely better to have him daven than to just not have Dvarim Shabbat Kedusha being said. Someone who's not yet a Baal Zakar and doesn't yet have a beard, the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Ches, if he's old enough to have a beard, and you see that he's old enough, that's good enough. He doesn't have to actually have a beard. So if he's 20 years old and he doesn't have a beard, it's fine. If he has a little bit of a beard, the Rama adds, and he's 18 years old, also fine. Sif Tes, Shulchan Aruch says, a sris, can be appointed as soon as he's 20 years old, because that's when he reaches gadlus. Short of 20, he's not a Sris, isn't even a gadol, because he doesn't have any simane gadlus. The Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud, Yeshlomo Zuchus Lam Lekom Shnoagim Shekatanim Yordam Lefnei HaTevel Lespal Tfilis Arvis B'motzoi Shabbasos, that we could be Melamed Zuchus on places where 13-year-olds, Katanim means 13-year-olds, would daven Faranamud for Mariv on Motzoi Shabbasos, because they're not being motzi anyone. The chiyuv, they're only saying kaddish or kedusha. But the Rama adds that you have to be careful on Friday when he says motzoi Shabbos. Mishmaru just points out that huadin arvis tachol. It means any night for Mariv. It's just that their minug used to be that they would allow it on motzoi Shabbos, but it means really any night for Mariv. The Rama just adds that if a child wants to daven on, if a child becomes bar mitzvah on Shabbos and he wants to lead the tefillos on Friday night, you got to be careful, because sometimes we make Shabbos early. So if you're making an early Shabbos, he cannot lead the tefillos. You have to wait till it's night, till it's after Tzeis HaKochavim, till for him to be able to lead the tefillos. Obviously, if he's already bar mitzvah, and it's just that he's not in the Smali Zakano, then it would be mutter ba'akrai. In Sifir Al Shulchan Aruch says, Shliach Tzibur is marich b'tfilasa, who davens too long because he loves the sound of his own voice. That is not okay. If it's that he loves praising the Ribbono Shel Olam, Tavo Alav Bracha, wonderful. But if he's doing it because he likes the sound of his own voice, that is not a good thing. It is meguna. Mishabur writes in Sifkat Lamed Hey, quotes from the Sefer Chassidim, a little bit odd that this makes it into the Mishnah Berurah over here, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was Yotzel Adin Leharig, was being brought out to be killed, and he said to Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, Achi, mipnei ma ani Yotzel Leharig, why am I about to be killed? And he said, well, maybe you were Dorish Barabim and Samach Lipchav in the Nesim Midivrei Torah. Maybe you said a drasha and you got such a geschmack out of the fact that everyone loved your drasha. So he said, Nichamtani. That gives me a nechama, because halavai, that should be the worst thing anyone gets killed for doing, that anyone's nitfas on. I don't know why that's mentioned over here. Nothing do really, other than just the fact that a person should be l'shem shemayim when they're doing things that relate to avodas Hashem, when you're leading a tefillah, when you're saying a shir. The Mishnah Berurah goes so far as to say, let's say you're in a shul that loves chazaros. They're into that. There are people like that. Usually not a whole shul of them, but there are people like that. They just love it. They're very into it. Mishnah Berurah says, "Af baratzon hakal yoser midai meguna." To extend it too much is still considered maguna, even when people want it. And there are a whole bunch of halachic issues that come up. A lot of times they're marich at the end of a bracha, where people answer amen before the bracha is over. So you have an amen chatufa, and you have problems like that. A lot of times they try to fit into the tune, but the words don't really fit the tune. So you have these kinds of issues that come up if you're more worried about the niggin than you are about actually connecting to the Ribbono Shalom and davening properly. Mishnah Berurah also quotes from a Tshuvas Mari Brona that if you have two chazanim that are of equal stature, but one's a Kohen, one's a Levi, Kohen comes before Levi, Levi before Yisrael, Talmud Chacham before anybody. So all the Dine Kedima that we learned about in today's Daf Yomi, actually, of Kohen, Kodim, Levi, that applies for all Devarim Shebekedusha, including appointing a Shliach Sibur. The Shulchan Aruch Sifid Beis, if someone doesn't know the difference between how to pronounce an ayin and an aleph, he should not be chosen as a shliach tzibur. So the later posts can point out that no one knows the difference in ayin, meaning there are svarim that pronounce it properly, ayin, and you know the aleph differently. The ayin more like a gimel, right, with a more of a deep ayin. But most people don't, and the Mishmur writes, if that's the way everyone speaks Hebrew, then they could be a Shliach Tzibur, and that's perfectly fine. Same with a Ches and a Hey, Shibolas, Sibolas, that's obviously the example taken from the Navi, Shibolas, Sibolas, Masef Shavtim. And not only that, the Mishmur writes, Huadin l'kol mishenu yachol ahotzi osios kitikunan. Any speech impediment a person has that he's unable to pronounce the words properly, that is a real problem for him to be a Shliach Tzibur, if he can't pronounce the words properly. Where this comes up as an issue is when it comes to people who pronounce Hebrew with one Havara, davening for a Tzibur that davens with another Havara. So that's a discussion in the Poskim. Some of the Poskim suggest that you should try to conform to what that Sibur davens. But others say that if that's going to confuse you and you're going to end up saying nobody's Havara because you're going to be a little bit here, a little bit there, and you see that happen all the time also, then better not to do that. Just stick with what you know. Stick with how you know how to pronounce it. In Se'if Yud Gimel, Shulchan Aruch writes, Posech, Vumi Shavigdo Kurua, Uzrosa Megula, Pochech, rather, Uzrosa Megula, Lir L'Vnateva. Person has to be dressed properly for davening, so if his arms, if his upper arms are exposed and his legs are exposed, so he should not lead the davening, which is interesting because really he shouldn't daven at all when he's not dressed properly. But what we're trying to say is that it's an extra hakpada. A person is always supposed to try to dress properly for davening. You have to be called mitlefnei hamelech. But we're saying that let's say the zman tefillah is up and you don't have proper clothing available, should you just not daven? No, the halacha is as long as you're able to libo not roes ha'erva, you're able to put on some minimal clothing, you still daven. But to daven farinamud, no, that you don't do if you're not dressed properly. And therefore, the post can point out that whatever the tzibur is makbid on for a chazan, sometimes people are insulted that you go into a certain shul, they tell you that you can only lead, you can only daven for the amud if you wear a hat. Okay, so that's what they're makbid on. So that's what they're makbid on. You can only daven if you have a jacket. That's what they're makbid on. That's why you have to conform to whatever it is that they're makbid about. Shulchan Aruch says a suma is allowed to daven as long as he doesn't read Torah. He should not be a bal kore because he's not allowed to say bal peh dvarim shebichsav, but to daven to lead the tefillos is permissible. However, Mishburu quotes from a Chavis Yair that during Yom Noraim it's better not to, and he doesn't quote the reason, but it's probably based on Akriveren Alefach Hasecha, that you would want to give the Ribbono Shel Olam the most dignified appearance. So you want to give someone who looks the most dignified, not someone who looks like Nebuchadnezzar struggling in life. That's how we want to represent ourselves with a sense of dignity in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mishmur discusses about a deaf person that Rabbi Kiva Eger says that he should not be a shliach tzibur because even though you don't have to be mashmiel la'azno to be yotzei tefila, but still l'charchila you should be able to be mashmiel la'azno. In Mishmur and Sivkot Membeis, when he talks about a suma not being a balkore, just says look l'kamon kufla mites siv gimel behaga. What he's referring to over there is that nowadays a suma can be olah l'Torah because he's not the one reading it anyway. Meaning the balkore is the one that's reading it, so a suma can get the aliyah. So the hakpada is that he not be the one that's korei b'Torah. Shulchan Aruch Siv Tes Zayin says that someone who's not a shliach tzibur kavua is supposed to turn down the opportunity to daven at first when they say, would you like to daven? He say, no, thank you. Then the second time he should stir a little bit, and then the third time he should get up and daven. And the reason is that he should try to appear as if he doesn't deem himself worthy of leading the tzibur. It should be noted, later posts can point out, Rav Shturmbach and others, that if you're in a situation where they're desperate, you know, it's already holding a few minutes before Shkia, they need someone to daven mincha, and everyone's saying no, so that's not a time to stir and stand in ceremony. No, the whole Indian is only an Indian of, who am I? But if they let anybody daven, then they just open the floor. Anybody? Will anybody daven? So then it's like this great kibbutz that you have to all of a sudden act all humble. Then you can go up and daven. This talking about they approach you to daven for Yom Noraim. Would you like to daven Musaf Yom Noraim? And they say, I don't know if I could be Shlich Tzibur Yom Noraim. Slich or something big, something like that. The Shulchan Aruch also goes on to say, we're running out of time over here, Shulchan Aruch also goes on to say that it's best for Shlich Tzibur to get paid. That Shlich Tzibur B'schar is Adif Tfemi Bin Adavin, Sifchav Beis, he says. And the reason is that the Shlich Tzibur will take it more seriously, Mishabur writes, and also that Shabazeh in Acher Sheino Hagen Rashi Liv Shadragel L'Svelo. No one else will claim that they have a right to daven because they're paying someone to daven. So better to have it kavua where no one else will be able to try to encroach on his territory. Shulchan Aruch also mentioned in Sif Chaf that if someone wants to say a tefillah for his father and someone else wants to say for someone else, meaning someone is an avel and he wants to daven, so whoever the kahal wants, because his real rites of an avel are to say Kaddish. It's not really to daven, to lead the tzibur. And this opens up a whole discussion. To what extent does an avel have to make sure that he davens? So he has to make sure that he davens to the extent that the tzibur wants him to daven. But if he's someone that the tzibur is not interested in having him daven, he should recognize that and not push his way to an amud if he's not qualified for the amud. A yartzeit takes precedence over an avel anyway. A balbris takes precedence over an avel. A yartzeit takes precedence over a balbris. Mishnah Berurah points out all this stuff about the precedence of who takes what precedence over who. The Shulchan Aruch talks at the end a little bit about who has to pay for the shliach tzibur, where the money comes from, and the one just last interesting point in Siv Chaf Hei, the Rama talks about using shirei nachrim, using non-Jewish songs. He says the shliach tzibur hamenabel piv o shemiranin b'shirei nachrim memachin b'yadar shalalasos kein. We don't want him to be the shliach tzibur. Meaning, the Mishnah Berurah says this is referring specifically to someone who uses Avodah Zarah songs. So if he starts singing Kedusha to jingle bells, so that's not a guy that you want as your Shliach Tzibur. Later posts can point out, but you know, these marches and different things that they want to incorporate into Yom Noraim liturgy, most of the poskim do not have a problem with it. It's not come from Shirei Agavim or love songs or anything inappropriate or anything like that. Most of the poskim don't have a problem with it. Rav Shechter doesn't like it. Rav Shechter thinks that when a person writes a niggun, he's putting his heart and soul into it, and he's giving his neshama to it, and you're latching on to that impure neshama. Very not Rav Shechter like Vart, but he was very sensitive to this. I don't know why. Okay.